Thank you, Greg and Brian. When they showed me what they were going to do for special music, I thought, in light of what I, God willing, hope to share with you, I thought, wow, talk about God living up to one of his names, Yahweh Yireh, that God provides. What a message. A message of hope. And I'd like to share that with you all of us today. The title of this message is Prisoners of Hope. And I didn't come up with that myself. As I was reading Zechariah chapter 9, God is telling us about his plans to save his people, which is what we just heard about, the plans to come, Jesus come. His plans to save his people in Zechariah 9, verse 11, As for you also, behold the blood of your covenant, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. You prisoners of hope. Verse 12, Zechariah 9. The New King James says, you prisoners of hope. Some translations say prisoners who have hope, which is basically the same thing. It says, continuing, even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. And as God inspired Zechariah to write in chapter 2, verse 10, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming. Jesus Christ, the God of the Old Testament, inspired Zechariah to write, I am coming, I will dwell in your midst, verse 10 of chapter 2, says the Lord. Verse 11, many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. Many nations will be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. Many nations will become his people. And I will dwell in your midst. God will dwell with them in your midst. Then you will know that the Eternal, the Lord of hosts, has sent me to you. In chapter 8 of Zechariah, we see as well, he says, the word of the Lord of hosts came saying, this is what the Lord of hosts says, I'm zealous for Zion with great zeal. Now, Zion can be a term or a symbolic of God's people. God says he's zealous for his people with great zeal, with great fervor. I am zealous for her. Thus says the Eternal in verse 3, I will return to Zion. I will return to my people and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth. God is going to give it the new name. It will not be a city of deception anymore, or a city threatened by all of the haters that start with the letter H, the hypocrites and the Hezbollah and Hamas and all the sad people who have no respect for human life or love for their brother. God says, I will return and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain, because God will be there. It will be what he makes it, by his presence. It will be holy, his holy mountain. the Lord of hosts says in verse 4, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand, because of great age. And the streets of the city will be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Verse 6, thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people, in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes? God says. Thus says, verse 7, the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people. I will save my people from the land of the east. What's to the east of Israel? We know what happened on October the 7th. I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west, and I will bring them back, and they will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. In truth and righteousness. But for now, we still live in a world of deception, do we not? Held captive by deception. So, as prisoners of hope, we pray, as Howard was talking about, for the intercession of our Savior, for the salvation that God has promised. Matthew 24, Jesus was telling his disciples, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. We have the hope that even though this has to take place, it will never happen again. Unless those days were shortened, Jesus said, no flesh would be saved. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. And who is he attributing this to? This change of his mind, this actual change, just like in the days of Joshua, the longest day, when he made the sun not go down for the sake of his people. Just like this, God is going to change the time of the events of the end of the age for the elect's sake. We have the hope that he is going to, for our sake, for the elect's sake, he is going to shorten those days for the sake of those who are prisoners of hope. In Revelation 17, we can see about the things that are prophesied to take place in that time when the kings of the world will make war with the Lamb. They'll be so deceived that they will even make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him, who are those that are with him? The prisoners of hope. Those who are with him are called. They are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Those who are prisoners of hope. Zechariah 7, verse 8, the word came again to Zechariah saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true judgment. God is telling them through Zechariah to the people of Israel, execute true justice, show mercy, give the people hope, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Don't oppress the widow and the fatherless. Give hope to the orphans, to the ailing or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But what did they do? Verse 11, they refused to heed. They shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so they couldn't hear. They made their hearts like flint in verse 12, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. We can read through the prophets all the promises and the words of God's inspired Spirit. That he sent through the prophets. And because of their hearts of flint, God's great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. In Luke 21, Jesus was talking about the results of this. Luke 21, verse 9, when you hear of wars and commotions, he tells us, don't be terrified. You, prisoners of hope, you don't need to be terrified when you hear of wars and commotions. For these things must come to pass first, but the end won't come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, in verse 10, and there will be great earthquakes. Have we felt any of those lately, the last few days? Little ones, thankfully. But there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all of these things, they'll lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and the prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and rulers for my sake, Jesus said. But it will, in verse 13, he said, it will turn out as an occasion for testimony. Because he wants to give us an occasion and a reason to share the hope that lies within us. The reason that we are prisoners of hope. He said, settle it in your hearts. Not to meditate beforehand what you will say, what you'll answer. For I will give you a mouth, verse 15, and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. That is something that we can hope and plan on and take confidence in. The promises of Jesus in Matthew 24, as he was, verse 3, he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will these things be? Tell us about this hope that you are enlightening us with. And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, first thing he said right off, don't let anyone deceive you. Take heed that no one deceives you. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody deceive you away from your understanding and the Spirit that gives you this hope, that makes you a prisoner of hope. For many will come in my name saying that I am the Christ, and they'll deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. You don't need to be troubled, Jesus said, because you are prisoners of hope. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Yet we can hang on to our hope in confidence that his plans for protection will happen. He will take care of his people. We can read the promises in Psalm 34. How many places he says God will look to those and care for those who look to him. He promises that. He, verse 13, who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the world. This gospel of hope will be shared with the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Interesting how Jesus told his disciples. How did he give them hope? In John chapter 14, he said, Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I told you, he said, in my Father's house are many dwellings. King James says mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. He gave them this hope, this confidence to look forward to what he was planning to do. And he is going away to prepare this for us, his disciples. I'm going to prepare a place for you. John 14, verse 2. Verse 3, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself. This is the hope that we look forward to. He is coming again to receive us to himself. That where I am, why is he going to do this? That where I am, you may also be. Where is he right now? He's at the right hand of his Father. And where I go, the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to know the way? And he said to them, I am the way. This is hope. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ, our Savior, himself was a prisoner of hope. Verse 27, he said, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Shall I go against the hope that he shared with me and the mission that he sent me to accomplish on this earth? But he says, for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Let this hope that you promised take place and be fulfilled. And then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people that stood by and heard that, they said that it had thundered. And others said that an angel had spoken to him. Verse 30, Jesus said, this voice didn't come because of me, but for your sake. This voice came to give you hope, you prisoners of hope, as we were told by Zechariah. This voice came for your sake, to strengthen your hope. Now is judgment. The judgment is on the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, Jesus said. This is another great, fantastic promise we hang on to in our hope that the ruler of this world is going to be cast out. And Jesus said, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. So as prisoners of hope, in hope we look to our Savior and the promises that he shared with us through the words to his disciples in the Bible that he preserved just for us so that we could have hope. Hebrews 7. Howard alluded to this twice. Hebrews 7:24. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, because he continues forever as our priest, he has an unchangeable, permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the utmost those who come to God. Because of their hope, he's able to save those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. He lives. We have a Savior who lives to intercede for us. That's what he lives for. What a great reason for the hope that lies before us. Verse 2 of chapter 12 of Hebrews. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who originated and the one who helps us complete the fulfillment of our faith because of the hope that he shared with us, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. He had a hope like no other that gave him this joy, and he shares that with us. Because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the suffering of the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, his Father, because he held on to this hope, this joy that was set before him. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, rejoice in the fact that we are prisoners of hope. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, as the elect, those who are called, chosen, and faithful, the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, which means patience or mercy. We can put these things on because we have this hope, this joy set before us, because we are God's prisoners of hope. Happy Sabbath, brethren.